The Taint of Midas, written by Anne Zarudi and read by Bill Wallace.
The rich, poor fool, confounded with surprise, starving in all his various plenty lies. Sick of his wish, he now detests the power for which he asked so earnestly before. Amidst his gold with pinching famine cursed, and justly tortured with an equal thirst, at last his shining arms to heaven he rears, and in distress for refuge flies to prayers. "O Father Bacchus, I have sinned," he cried, "and foolishly thy gracious gift applied. Thy pity now, repenting, I implore. Oh, may I feel the golden plague no more." The hungry wretch his folly thus confessed, touched the kind deity's good-natured breast. The gentle god annulled his first decree, and from the cruel compact set him free. The Legend of King Midas, Ovid, Metamorphoses, Book 11. Chapter 1. Blind eyes bear no witness. At the hilltop, a breeze stirred the branches of the pine trees, and 20 hives were cool beneath their shade. All were painted yellow, their legs and edges picked out in red, and each bore a number on its side. And on each hive roof a painted eye stared up towards the sky, a woman's eye, exotic, like the coal-rimmed eyes of yashmaked faces, the whites very bright, the irises brash blue. They were the eyes of hieroglyphs in Egyptian tombs. But these eyes watched the living, not the dead. They kept a vigil, warding off the evil eye, one for each hive, deflecting the badness of ill-wishers from the bees. The breeze carried the scent of the summer sea, salt, wet rock, the soft decay of marine debris, and on the water far below the swell peaked in light foam. Close inshore, a speedboat left a wake of white. Far out by the distant islands, a small yacht raised its sail. At the hill summit, amongst the stones that marked the outline of the ruin, even the turquoise-tailed lizards took shelter from the sun. The depleted spring was just a trickle, though the trough where the waters collected was always full. Damp from splashing there, Maniatis, an aging, ugly dog, bent his head round to his flank, tugging at the burrs stuck in his coat. Ants ran amongst the breadcrumbs on the tabletop. Wasps settled on the fish bones on the plate. Gambrilis Scaloieros had sat too long at lunch, time slipping by whilst he indulged in memories. Still, all must be in place by five, and nothing was ready. Each day he found it harder to keep moving. An ant tickled the liver-spotted skin of his hand, traversing the ridged veins and arthritic knuckles, to where, above his wrist, the bruises, coloured like aubergines, the bruises came from nothing, from the lightest knocks and bumps, had still not healed. He rose unwillingly from his chair, and leant a moment on its back until the breathlessness passed. Above his head, the vine shading the veranda was full of grapes, but with no Maria to hold the ladder steady, climbing up to cut them would be madness. So, like the fox in Aesop's fable, he told himself the grapes were sour, and made his way inside. The house was small, a single room, but Maria was gone, and without her care nothing was as it used to be. Dead flies floated in the chamber pot he used at night, and in the heat the stale urine stank. His clothes lay rank and dirty in the corners until he put them on again, unwashed. Though he'd lit no fire since spring, the fireplace was filled with wood ash and sootfalls, and mice were nesting amongst the winter blankets stored beneath the bed.